Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae is returning record amounts of money to Mississippians, whether it's through the College and Career Savings Program or the millions in unclaimed money awaiting your claim. Treasurer David McRae says get your application and claims today. Treasury.ms.gov.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, the big question is, the thing that I want to know first is, have you recovered yet from the weekend that you had in Oxford? It's Sunday night, so maybe you've had some time to decompress and kind of let everything sink in, but have you physically recovered from what was obviously an epic Saturday in Oxford? Tell me about it. I'd love to hear from you guys. What was the day like for you? Because that was one of those things, one of those moments as a sports fan. And you can be a sports fan, any team, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, doesn't matter. If you're a fan, you have a handful of games or moments that happened, that you witnessed, that you will never forget. And that this was one of those things. I mean, Ole Miss fans so often reference 2014 Alabama, right? Or even the atmosphere that was in a loss, 2003 LSU, and, you know, those kind of games. Everybody's got one of those, regardless of what team. That was one of those days. But more importantly, and I think Ari Wasserman of The Athletic really, in his post-game article, he and Andy were at the game, Andy Staples, but the way he described it was really good, in that, yes, it was a big win. Yeah, it was a historic win. Yes, Georgia's been on this crazy run where only Alabama has beaten them since COVID has begun. They have been dominating the college football world, tore down both field goal posts, and it's one of those days that you remember forever kind of things. But there was nothing fluky about it. That was not a fluke. That was not a lowly underdog sneaking up on a top 10 team. Like, Miami Georgia Tech was one of those upsets. Now, I like Key a lot at Georgia Tech, and Haynes King he's a tough player and all that, but that was one of those wacky college football upsets, right? This was not that. Ole Miss has a team that can replicate that performance and had for the previous couple weeks going into it. Ole Miss has the talent that can do that more than just in that game. There was nothing fluky about it. That was one team being significantly better than the other that day. Now, if they played again, would it be as dominant? Maybe not. I don't know. But I do know that what happened on Saturday was not some crazy college football upset. It was a crazy college football environment, but it was not a crazy college football upset. That was validation. That's the word I used. I recorded a quick little video last night after the wedding. That was a validation day for Ole Miss football. That was validation day for you, the fan, and your investment in the team. That was a validation day for Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding and Jackson Dart and Princely Umanmielen and Walter Nolan and everybody involved in that. That was a validation day. Ole Miss has arrived in the next tier as a program. Now, what can they do about it? Can they capitalize on it? Can they continue to rise and turn what has become an elevation of their program to another tier? We'll have to see. But there is no doubt that Ole Miss has elevated itself, and Saturday was validation of that. So welcome in. My name is Michael Borky. I'm glad that you guys are here. If you're a first-time watcher or listener, please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. So if you're watching on YouTube or listening on Super Talks YouTube, search Rebel Report wherever you get your podcasts. If you want more of this, that's where you do it. Subscribe and leave a rating and a review, and also like the video and leave a comment as well. If you're not watching live or listening live, that's okay. I still read the comments and engage with them. There was a particular Georgia fan on the Super Talk YouTube comment section, because Richard Haydad and I talked about how this game on paper was a battle of equal teams, very equal football teams on paper. And the Georgia commenter did not very much like that, because Ole Miss hasn't won a championship since whatever, and so the teams aren't equal, as if that has any bearing on this one. So I hope I hope my friend shows up in the comments as well. But anyway, please do. If you're watching after the fact, I still see him and engage with him. So I would invite you to do that. So obviously there was no post-game live last night because I was at a wedding in Nashville. So this will serve as like the game recap, and then we're just going to get to your comments and read them for the next 45 minutes or so. So we'll get into the game after I tell you this podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Not in Saltillo anymore. He's practicing out of Fulton, Mississippi, right up against the campus at ICC, but he can service you anywhere. And if you're a small business owner and you need legal advice, but even if you don't, that day's probably going to come. The Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, Fulton, Mississippi, now no longer Saltillo, Mississippi, but Fulton, Mississippi. He's got you covered. Personal injury as well. If you've been personally injured or you may have a contract dispute, this is the person to call. DJ Gregory, 662-397-9799 is the phone number. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. So Ole Miss gets a dominating win over Georgia, 28-10. And quite frankly, the score doesn't really truly reflect how much better Ole Miss was than Georgia in this game. Ole Miss, as you guys know, spotted Georgia a touchdown. Jackson Dart gets rolled up on the first play and very clearly very hurt and played through it. Obviously got a couple shots in the locker room, or I don't know if they're still doing cortisone or it's something else now, but got rolled up on and threw an interception on the third play. His arm was getting hit as it was going through, so he could not follow through on the throw, which is important, and also couldn't put pressure on that ankle, so it sailed high. Georgia picks it off. Their lone touchdown drive is a 20-yard drive, and then Jackson Dart is slamming his helmet and going to the locker room because he's in pain. And in that moment, you think, this is not good. And then we'll talk about Austin Simmons here in a second, but Simmons leads a touchdown drive. And then after that point, Ole Miss gave up 3 points and defensively were flat out dominant. Offensively, they called a really good game plan. Dart threw the injury and just played tough as hell. And they thoroughly dominated Georgia in this game. And here's, like, I know it's just like stats that you guys have probably seen already, but it's just a perfect illustration of exactly how dominant Ole Miss was. Georgia ran for 59 yards on 33 attempts. That is 1.8 yards per attempt. The Ole Miss defensive front held Georgia to 1.8 yards per attempt. Ole Miss leads the country in sacks. They lead the country now more so than they did before in tackles for loss. And for some reason, I don't think that they're getting the credit nationally for being as incredibly dominant as they are defensively. And now secondary play is getting better. John Saunders, for example, had a really good game. Kennedy's doing better things. They don't even try to throw in the direction of Trey Amos anymore. So secondary play is improving. But that front six is absolutely elite. They sacked Carson Beck 5 times in the game, and they held Georgia to 1.8 per carry. On the other side, Ole Miss ran for 134 on 3.7. So not the best day running the football, but enough to at least keep a defense to have to kind of pay attention to it while they sling the football around. Georgia only threw for 186 on 20 of 31. That's only 6 yards per attempt. Meanwhile, Ole Miss, with a quarterback with a hobbled leg and young guy getting his first legitimate game action in one series, threw for 263 on 9.4 per attempt, and it was 14.6 per completion. Ole Miss averaged more per pass attempt than Georgia averaged per pass completion. They were down multiple scores late in the fourth quarter, and they were having to run screens because of just how dominant Ole Miss's defensive front was in this game. And also penalties, if I can find it here. Where is the penalties? I can't find it on here. I had it, but it is gone. Either way, I think Ole Miss, had 3 penalties in the game, so they cleaned things up as well. Time of possession was basically equal. Just a really totally dominating day for Ole Miss. Individually, Jackson Dart was 13 of 22 for 199, a touchdown, and the aforementioned interception, and also led the team in rushing, had 50 yards rushing on 6.2 per carry, did Jackson Dart on that bum ankle. But more importantly than just the fact that he was able to overcome the injury and lead his team to a win against Georgia, and he being the guy that recruited the roster and did all of those things. What I am most encouraged by with that performance is not any of the throws. It looks like he is back. What made him great was not necessarily his talent. Now, he's talented, don't get me wrong, but we talked about it earlier in the season, in the start of SEC play, where it felt like he was either pressing or it didn't look like he was himself. He didn't look like he was comfortable. A few weeks ago, we talked about how he slid short of a first down twice, and Ole Miss got stopped on fourth down after that. And in this game, with a bum ankle, shot up with a bunch of stuff to make it numb for a while. But there was a moment in the second half where he escaped the pocket, and easy first down, could have run out of bounds, probably should have run out of bounds. But what he did instead was he lowered his shoulder and ran over a defensive back. And it's like, that is Jackson Dart's game. That is how Jackson Dart wins. Taking long developing passing plays and just chucking the ball vertically like it felt like they did a few times earlier this season, that's not his game. His game is what you saw on Saturday. Tough, gritty, limping around, slamming his helmet, talking, forgive my language, everybody, but getting in defenders' faces and talking a little shit and running guys over and also utilizing, only three passes to tight ends, but a little underneath stuff that they did. They pass protected well for him as well, but he was effective in the running game and escaping the pocket, but he played like what you were accustomed to thinking that he could play like, especially in the 2023 season. He has that edge again, maybe arrogance is the right word, and I mean that complimentary, but the numbers don't just scream off the page at you, but you guys watched it, and everybody in the stands and on TV watched it too, that was Jackson Dart's game right there. Tough, gritty, overcoming an injury, not running out of bounds when he probably should have to run over a defensive back. That's how Jackson Dart wins. That's how Ole Miss won 11 games last year. That's in part, everybody contributed to that win on Saturday, but from the quarterback position, he had a stretch of 3 weeks of poor play. He's got that edge back to him. You saw last week in Fayetteville, early in the first quarter, he's cussing, screaming, he's fighting mad after their first possession. And then he goes out there and executes and dominates. That's Jackson Dart. And you saw the vintage him, and that was a legacy performance for him. You've got, like in the past, you've got Bo Wallace, Alabama, and Matt Corral, Tennessee, and Neyland. Right? These kind of games where Ole Miss's quarterbacks, the recent stretch of them, have had that moment where, like Bo Wallace, he'll tell you, couldn't hold during practice after he hurt that shoulder, couldn't throw the football in practice, couldn't hold his arm above his head and still played. That Corral game where, basically everybody's hurt and he put the team on his back and just went into Neyland and was special. Same thing here with Jackson Dart. He's won a lot of football games. He's broken a lot of records, but he was hurt. Bad, and he came back into that game limping around, hobbled, and played a great game in a tough and physical game against Kirby Smart's Georgia. So that's kind of one of those legacy moments for Jackson Dart. So again, 13 of 22, 199. Austin Simmons in his one drive. How important was that? You guys have talked about it. I'm sure you've seen it everywhere. Everybody's talked about it. That drive and him executing that drive allowed everybody to just it felt like there was a decompression. And how huge was that? If he doesn't do that, let's say that the moment's too big for him and he's freaking out and shaking and they go three and out and punt and then Georgia goes down and scores again, the game could be totally different. Now, I don't think Ole Miss's defense would have allowed a blowout, but that changed the complexion of the game. And on the drive back this morning, I was listening to Chase and Tyler Siski and Jeffrey talk about that. But I thought Siski brought up a really interesting point about Austin Simmons. He's a relief pitcher. And, you know, what if he – one, he showed you that in baseball, like young pitcher, right? Freshman pitcher in SEC baseball in tough spots, just going out there and shoving, right? Just mowing guys down. And obviously Georgia with – the playoffs on the line in a football game is different than a baseball game, but the mentality, right, where he's not fazed by a tough spot, just went in there and executed and settled the game down. And there's so much that comes from that drive on top of just how important it was in the moment. But now, like, what is life after Jackson Dart like? Well, you got a really good glimpse into what life after Jackson Dart is like. You have an uber talented lefty who is brilliant off the field. I mean, there's a reason you graduate high school early, and dumb people don't do that. But you now saw that, at least for a drive anyway, the moment was not too big for him at all. In fact, he thrived in it, and so that did two things that could have possibly saved the game, but it also allowed for everybody, recruits, coaches, transfer players, returning players, to look at what they've got and say, it's going to be fine, because that kid is will be playing for Ole Miss next year. Carson Beck was 20 of 31 for 186 and an interception. Now, the ball was tipped at the line, but you knew Carson Beck was going to turn the football over at some point, and he did. In rushing, again, Dart had 50 yards on 8 carries. Bentley had 28 on 13, but he did have that touchdown, a very important touchdown, and also caught the ball out of the backfield well. Dominic Thomas played. He had 24 rushing yards on 9 carries, so that's just 2.7. Jordan Watkins, they used him out of the backfield, got creative with him. He had 20 yards on 3 carries, or at least technically, because I do think that they gave a carry for Dart through the ball behind the line of scrimmage, but it was definitely a pass. But still, I mean, that technically counts. On the flip side, Georgia, Nate Frazier had only 57 yards rushing on 3.9. ETN had 24 on just 4 per carry. Beck got sacked a lot. He had net negative yards rushing because of the sack totals. Again, Georgia only ran for 59 yards in the game. Ole Miss ran for 134. Receiving, I mean, this is balance and just a really good day offensively. Caden Lee, 4 receptions, 81 yards. Jordan Watkins, 4 receptions, 68 yards. Ulysses Bentley, 4 receptions, 38 yards. Juice Wells, 3 receptions, 27 yards and a touchdown. Caden Priestcorn, 1 catch. It was an important one on that on Dart's return drive. Ball was a little bit overthrown, but he extended and got it. Daquan Wright, 2 catches, 23 yards. So 18 receptions, but 6 pass catchers on 18 receptions for 263 yards. And defensively, Ole Miss was just awesome defensively. Dottery and Chris Paul led the team in tackles again with 10 and 8 respectively. But Ole Miss had, what, 4 forced fumbles in the game. They had 5 sacks. Jared Ivey was really, really good in this game, as was Princely. Both of them were just awesome. But Ivey had 2 tackles for loss. Both of them were sacks and also 2 pass breakups. And on the interception, you guys saw it if you watched the broadcast, heady play from Ivey. He knew he wasn't going to get home, so he sat and just watched Carson Beck's eyes. And when he went to throw, boom, arm up, tipped, Saunders interception. And that was pretty much ball game. Right there. But I mean, everybody on the defensive line, Perkins was good. Walter Nolan was really good and dominant. JJ Pegues was really good. I mean, this team just had a special, special day overall defensively. I mean, just an outstanding day across the board. Again, I mentioned Saunders earlier. I think he had a really good game. I think Kennedy had a really good game. Xavier Harris was special. This defensive front for Ole Miss is, I mean, you can make a case that it's the best in college football, and how could you argue against it? I mean, again, leading the country in sacks and tackles for loss, they're among the best in basically every statistical defensive category. And, I mean, that was Georgia. They're like that in SEC play as well. So it's just truly special and dominant from that defense. Even got a good kicking performance. Great kicks. I thought Lane Kiffin managed the game well, knowing how good they were playing defensively, but got a pair of punts, just two punts that totaled 108 yards. So one of them went for 65 yards. And then Caden Davis, made all of his field goals. That 53-yarder would have been good from 70. Just an all-around outstanding performance from this Ole Miss team. They played clean. They executed. They were dominant defensively. They overcame early adversity. It was a well-coached, well-played game mentally. After that disastrous start, they locked in, and it took so many different guys to pull out a performance like that. And that looked like the team that everybody thought that they were going to be. They have peaked at the right time. So we'll get to your comments. I know there's a lot of them. That's just kind of like your quick, box score look, and we're just going to read your comments now for the next 20 or 30 minutes or so, or however long. But before we do that, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. They'll give you a complimentary office technology assessment, so you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you. On me, it's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with local loan servicing and decision making, so you don't need to hop on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state. If you need a loan or you have a loan with them and you need it serviced for any reason, Priority One Bank is the place to go, because they make you their priority. So here we go. Just a bunch of hotty toddy, everyone celebrating the W. Sounded great last night. And I forgot to mention that earlier. So sometimes you get coach speak stuff about atmosphere, but both Kirby Smart and Lane Kiffin said things that stood out. One, Kirby Smart after the game said that was the kind of environment that his team will never forget that they played in. So, and I doubt he says that very often. But also on the other side, Kiffin said last night when he was at the Georgia game last year. So everybody talks about that Georgia game this offseason, is that was the one that the catalyst for change at Ole Miss. And they talked about it on the broadcast. And of course, that's been a big takeaway today, is that Georgia game last year going down the way it went down was the best thing that could have happened to Ole Miss, because then they invested and look at what their investment brought to them. They did what they did almost specifically for this game right here. But something else happened in that game. Lane Kiffin said he mentioned to Kyle Campbell during warmups of the Georgia game last year that the stadium was packed in full like over 30 minutes before kickoff. And apparently he pulled Kyle over and was like, how do we get our stadium to feel like that? And he said last night after the game that was what that felt like. That not only was the stadium loud during the course of the game, but he was like, it was full and intense during pregame warmups. And that can set such a tone for the rest of the game. And so anyway, Kiffin was complimentary about that last night as well. But Georgia, you could see at times, struggled to run their offense and to make checks. And Kirby said as much last night. But what makes that so cool is the weather was awful. It rained the entire time. But everybody I've talked to says that was the best Vaught-Hemingway Stadium environment that has ever existed. And it certainly looked like it. It certainly sounded like it. And no, the stadium is not built well to trap in sound, but very clearly Vaught-Hemingway Stadium can be a hornet's nest to go play in. And you guys made it one. So that was cool to see as well. Squirrel, new mascot. Isn't that so funny? The fake injuries go away and suddenly squirrels are invading the field and then you had the fireworks smoke delay as well, because it was raining. The smoke didn't rise out of the stadium fast enough. But yeah, I don't think that the squirrel should be the mascot, but I do think that the squirrel should become like inserted in Ole Miss lore, right? T-shirts and buttons and stuff. It definitely needs to be a thing. That's not a coincidence at that point. You got to make it something. A defining game and moment for the program to propel itself to the playoff, just handle their business in the final two games and they're in. It really helps that Florida's got to play this weekend, and they got to play a very big game for their opponent this weekend. They have been getting better, and Lagway's good. That game being at noon helps. Coming off of another loss helps. I can't imagine it's going to be a real jacked up place. Ole Miss getting the bye week helps, not only to get healthy, and especially for Dart, but also so they don't have to try to navigate coming down from the high of this win and then go to Gainesville a few days later. Hope that everyone that went to Athens last year and endured the rain, the heckling, and the barking got to be there last night. It was healing, for sure. Great weekend. Yes, it was, Craig. Yes, it was, man. Had a great time hanging out with you all weekend, brother. Anyone see Chad Kelly's injury? Looks bad. Yes, that was just very, very, very ugly. He's not playing football for a while. It was the most satisfying win Ole Miss has had as a program since 2014 Bama, but even that game, they had to come from behind. This was an ass-kicking after the first possession. Didn't I tell you guys not to sleep on Ole Miss? No, you didn't. And hey, who dat, my friend? That was fun today. Fear the squirrel 2-0 when it happens. They got to cage one and release it on the field during the Egg Bowl just for the hell of it. Kind of like the catfish on the ice at Predators games. Got to release a squirrel. Got to. Think we're in. We'll know for sure once we see if we pass Georgia and Notre Dame. I think it doesn't matter. They should be ranked ahead of Miami and a few others as well. SMU, they should be ranked ahead of. Ole Miss should really shoot up after this win. How many teams in the country have played better football than Ole Miss over the last 3 weeks? How many? Very, very, very few, if any. But it'll take care of itself. I mean, Georgia and Tennessee play each other. College football will college football. They should already be like in the top 12, and I know it doesn't always work like that because the group of five team could be out, but they should start this week in the top 12, and you've got 3 weeks of football for teams to lose, and they will. I mean, they kind of have to, right? If they're not ahead of Texas A&M or Texas, one of them's going to lose. So there is, I think there's no worry. Just win the games and they will make the playoff. It's really that simple. And they are much better than both of these teams. And they should be getting healthier. And they're peaking at the right time. So I don't even think you have to schedule a watch, really. We'll do that, especially for the radio show. And we'll do that on Tuesday as well. But I do think it'll work itself out if it hasn't already. It's a little culture shock to see just how much Ole Miss whipped Georgia up front, not just defensively, but the pass blocking was excellent after the opening possession. Yeah, one sack. And their quarterback, although he did escape the pocket well, only gave up one sack with a hobbled quarterback. They are pass protecting much better. Can't slip up. Got to remember the goal of the season, win the whole damn thing. Every team is flawed. Like Ole Miss's flaw is they're not running the football with great success, right? Look at every premier team in college football. I promise you, every single one of them has a flaw. All of them do. Ohio State kind of struggles to run the football, and frankly, I think they're limited at quarterback. Very good on the other side of the ball, though. Ohio State's very good defensively. But go down the list. Texas, their offensive line, frankly, if Texas had to play Ole Miss, they'd be in hell too. So you just go down the list, and you can do this with every single team. They all have flaws, all of them. Ole Miss has one. They all do too. D-line and linebackers are nasty, and that's an undersell. That's an undersell. Kirby has never won in Oxford as a head coach, 0-2. Yeah. The atmosphere was electric, more hungry than the 2023 LSU game. That place exploded on the fumbles and the interception. Kirby Smart even said after the game the crowd was an issue. You could tell. You could tell that they were having communication issues for sure. You could absolutely tell. Dart is a tough SOB, went out, and his name will be enshrined among the best quarterbacks to ever play at Ole Miss. Also, man, future looks bright with Simmons. Dude looks like a star. Yeah, I mean the talent with him is real, and you can't forget how young he is. He is very, very young. And I mean, just imagine what it will be like in an off season where he doesn't play baseball. Which, by the way, I know some people when I tweeted this back in September, there were some people that did not very much like that I tweeted that. But he needs to be done playing baseball. Baseball's over, and I'm not even gonna like play the. Well, you know they should do. Nope, done playing baseball. Nope, you are the quarterback of the future. You can't. And already, I mean, is that even in doubt because of the elbow injury? He never got surgery on it, but baseball's over. Baseball's over. You enter the spring. You're the starting quarterback for Ole Miss. At least I think, right? I mean, maybe Lane's got other ideas, but I doubt it. No more baseball. Focus on football because, yes, this team loses a lot, but also if you kind of look at some guys that are contributing that will be back, that there's a nice little nucleus that they can build off of, and you know they're going to portal well. And suddenly, like, next year doesn't look like crazy, like insurmountable either. No more baseball. Done. Done with baseball. Has to be. So, and what I'm trying to say with that is imagine him having a full offseason where he's not playing baseball, where he's focused on one thing. And you've obviously seen progression and development with quarterbacks under Kiffin. Just imagine that. Austin Simmons led the most important drive of the entire season. Sure felt like it. Absolutely, to this point, it is. Absolutely, it is. Every penny that has gone to Walker Jones and the Grove Collective is worth it. Props to Keith and the admin for working so hard alongside them to make this happen. And you, the fans, for buying in and funding it. Ole Miss does not have the biggest fan base in the SEC. Ole Miss doesn't have the richest fan base in the SEC. But fans were totally bought in on the concept. And it's so well funded. And also, I mean, the evaluations. Remember when Princely and Nolan transferred? I don't know if it was totally fair. I didn't watch them closely at Florida and A&M like I do at Ole Miss. But Florida fans talked all kinds of bad in media about Princely. Same thing with Walter Nolan. Now, maybe it's quite simply Ole Miss is getting the most out of him. I don't know, but those guys have been worth every dollar. Princely was special. Walter Nolan's been special all season, and Princely got hurt, of course, but Ole Miss took guys that had reputations, whether earned or not, at other schools in the SEC and turned them into what they are right now, which is feared, dominant defensive linemen. Jared Ivey and J.J. Pegues, now they're not one-time transfer or one-year transfers, but they were at different schools. They come to Ole Miss and look at what they have become. Chris Paul was really good at Arkansas. Right, he was really good there. But look at what he is playing for Pete Golding at Ole Miss. There's something to that. Not only, you know, did they play the game to pay to get these guys, but when they get them, look at what Ole Miss has turned them into, what they have become at Ole Miss, what Jared Ivey has become. Think of Ivey now versus when he transferred at Ole Miss, how much better he's gotten. And that's not just a credit to coaches, it's to him as well, but the development that the defensive players are going through at Ole Miss is, I mean, you're seeing it. How much better has Perkins gotten in just his year and a half? Arguably Kiffin's best coach game here, and Pete Golding dial up an excellent game plan. That was, I think, I mean, you could probably do the Peach Bowl as well, but because of the context of this game, that was Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding's best coach game. I agree. That because, and especially because they got punched in the mouth, man. So it's raining like hell. Dart gets hurt. They get punched in the mouth. And they weathered the storm and dominated. Austin Simmons, the real MVP. I agree with Edward earlier. Most important drive of the season. Yeah, I would love to know exactly what they gave Jackson Dart. I imagine it was more than one thing, but I hear you. Game ball should go to Simmons. Without that drive, it's possible the thing spirals down. So I don't know what they – I don't know if they do game balls. I don't know what Kiffin does there. By the way, I'm so sorry. I forgot to acknowledge the Super Chat. Please forgive me, man. I was so and locked into responding to you, I didn't even acknowledge it. So, man, they are totally, completely unnecessary, but I appreciate you very much for that. Thank you, man. Thanks a lot for that. So I don't know what their game ball situation is, but like the Lions, I think they give 3 or 4. I mean, there should be like 10 game balls given out. I don't even know if you can give just one because of how equally great everybody was. That was Georgia's lowest offensive output since 2017. Wow. How much of the game did you get to see with the wedding going on about the same time? So I missed, I watched it today, but I missed the second quarter. Basically the last 5 minutes of the first quarter and basically the entire second quarter. So that was when like the actual ceremony was going on. It was like 5 minutes to go in the first. And the ceremony and the pictures lasted until halftime. And then they had like cocktail hour and dinner, so we got to like post our phones up and watch. And yeah. So got to see it in real time the entire second half. And then again, I watched it today. Georgia had more arrests than points against Ole Miss. I think it's the best overall defense in the country. And the thing is, it's getting better. It's getting better. Frazier was short on that 3rd and 1. Yeah. Kiffin had some interesting comments on Diggs. Was that today? Because I listened to the press conference yesterday, the one from after the game, and I don't remember him talking about him, so maybe that happened today. I'll have to go in and look. Thought after the Simmons drive, the one that started at the 1 and they got a field goal was huge. Kirby was probably counting on field position for points, and instead it was 16-7. Yep. What will the defense look like next year? They'll have to use some transfers, right? But Perkins will be back, and he'll be expensive, but he'll be back. Xavier Harris is back. You've got the guys from last year's recruiting class, like Cam Franklin and those dudes that'll be there. They'll use the transfer portal. They'll have to, but there is a nice nucleus returning there. What is his eligibility? I mean, I know he's got more time, but I wonder if he's playing so well that he might consider the NFL. No, he's a true sophomore, right? Or did he redshirt at Clemson? Let me see. Sorry. So he played in the Peach Bowl last year, which doesn't count for redshirt purposes, but I would assume he would be back. There's a nice little nucleus there. Really is. Hands down, yesterday was the best football game you've ever attended as a fan. Any chance if they went out, they'll get a home playoff game? Yes. I think there is that chance. Because again, you only need to be ranked. It's 5 through 8 that is hosting a game. So all they have to do is get up to 8. And depending on what the poll says Tuesday, it is absolutely possible that they can. Now, they'll need a little help to host, but they only need to get to 8. It's all they have to be. Because again, the top 4, as you guys know, get byes, and then 5 through 8 host the playoff games. So if they're ranked 12 on Tuesday, only need to move up 4 spots. In 3 weeks of football, moving up 4 spots, that's not unheard of, especially with the win over Georgia. See the clip on the first play of Georgia's second possession where all 4 Ole Miss linemen immediately beat their guys and nailed Etienne in the backfield. It's so funny. It's so funny. Oh, man. The film session for Georgia's offensive line, that's not going to be a fun one at all for them. team is balling out at the right time. They're absolutely peaking at the exact right time. Dart has only been sacked three times in the last three games. And one thing, in the first three SEC games, I kept wondering, like, his pocket presence, and I know that, I mean, you know, he was under pressure a lot, but I do think that he didn't do a good enough job of evading pressure like he has the last 3 weeks as well. He avoided a couple sacks yesterday and made things happen with his feet. I didn't see that as much, and maybe he couldn't in the first three SEC weeks. I don't know. Caden Lee is the man. I don't think he gets talked about enough. Gets open, runs clean routes, catches the football. O-line played great, especially against that front. I mean, yeah. Seems like Trey Harris wants to come back, but he's just not healthy enough yet. I don't think they'll need him in these last two, but surely he can come back at some point. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a bad muscle injury. The offense is performing better without him, but I'm not going to be that guy that's like, oh, well, Ole Miss doesn't need him. They would love to have him. I do think that spreading the football around like they have, though, and having to, like, it felt like they tried to force everything to Trey Harris as opposed to allowing him to be a part of what they do. And when he comes back, I think it'll look different than it did, say, in the Kentucky game, for example. O-line pass protection has been improving well. Yeah, and they're still shuffling guys around because of health and other things. Simmons to Lee is going to be a fun combo next year. Absolutely, it will. And also maybe a five-star true freshman. You know there's going to be a transfer or two in there. You remember when they got Golding, Bama fans were thanking Ole Miss, the pleasure is all ours, Bama, thank you. Yeah, the anti-Pete Golding narrative was always just so remarkably stupid. It never made sense. It was always Alabama fans that were stuck in the year 2009 as opposed to understanding that in modern football, what matters is efficiency more so than, you know, did you hold them to 3 points every game? Oh, well, had some top recruits at the game, a lot of them. Yeah, Lane kind of teased that there's going to be a big recruiting week upcoming, like with news. Dart's best throw of the game was the touchdown to Wells. Great catch on that, too. Yeah, it was. Wide receivers were open a lot last night. They schemed it really well. Would expect a massive Ole Miss crowd in Gainesville now. Just booked a Airbnb last night after the game. Heck yeah. Awesome, man. Yeah, I would not be surprised at all if that's the biggest road crowd that Ole Miss has ever had it. At Florida. Perkins with 10 sacks, Princely with 9.5. I thought he had 10 as well. Let's see. Because I think Ivy has 8 too, right? See if I can find it quickly. Hope this doesn't block the stream. Okay. Well, I wish that I could sort it. The Ole Miss website won't let me sort it based on numbers. So, yeah, Perkins has 10. So, according to Ole Miss's website, Princely has 9.5. I thought he had 10, but Perkins has 10. Princely has 9.5. Ivy has 7. Nolan has 4. Paul has 2.5. Daughtry has 2. Pegues has 2.5. Harris has 1.5. Cam Franklin has 2.5. Caleb Stone has 1.5. Chris Hardy has 1.5. Which I guess, you know, there's not much reason to play him considering what you're getting out of Princely and Perkins, but he didn't even play on on Saturday. But anyway, I mean, just it's so balanced too. It was nice the game went a little faster than these usual four-hour games, so the Field Rush got its time to shine on the broadcast. The old double Field Rush, because people don't realize that when there's still time on the clock, the game's not over. On a fourth down, on an incomplete pass, the clock stops. But, you know, honestly, who cares? It was awesome. I'm so pro field storming. It looks so cool. Does Ole Miss get Trey Harris back for Florida? I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe not. They certainly shouldn't need him. So if he's still hurt, then. Simmons absolutely clutched. They had a plan just for him. So what's interesting is Lane said after the game that they told Austin that we're just calling the offense. Just whatever the plan was, you're running it too. Didn't treat him any differently than Jackson. So that shows you what they think about him. Guys like Simmons, Perkins, and Caden Lee are signs to point to next year being a great foundation to rebuild a team upon. Yep, for sure. Field rush, fans looked like idiots storming the field with 15 seconds left. Yeah, but, you know, it's college football, man. It's kind of dumb sometimes. Watkins was really good over the middle of the field. We knew he could be this good. It just took half the season to show it, for sure. Pre-scoring with one catch. Wish he was more healthy. I am way behind on these messages, so I'm going to rapid fire because we've gone long, but that's okay. But yeah, he's not healthy. He's playing through an injury as well, but he and Wright are such a great combo. Checkdowns and dump offs to Bentley in space killed Georgia in the first half. It's almost like Ulysses Bentley is great with the ball. I mean, you know, getting him the ball in space is a good thing. Just need to win out. Everyone would be healthy by a hypothetical first playoff game. Take care of business and the injuries will be okay. Absolutely. And I've seen people do like SEC championship scenarios. Don't worry about that. Doesn't matter. Just if you host a playoff game, you play the same number of games anyway. And if you happen to go to the SEC championship and lose, you play an extra game. Doesn't matter. Don't worry about the SEC championship. It just doesn't matter. Just get to the playoff. And if you host it, great. Princely and Ivy had their best games as Rebels, maybe Nolan too. And again, I'm sorry. I wish I could spend more time. We're going to rapid fire here because we've gone over the magic 45-minute number apparently. But anyway, since that miss against Kentucky, Caden Davis has been nails. Absolutely. Super glad to have a bye week this week. Going into Gainesville would be tough just a week after that game. Hopefully the team can reset and avoid a letdown game for sure. Yep, Davis missed a very short kick at LSU as well. Hit the like button. Yeah, hit the like button. Appreciate that. Is there any slight possibility for the SEC title game? Yes, there is, but it seems unlikely. Expect Georgia to bounce back and beat Tennessee, especially with Nico hurt. Yeah, Tennessee's been they can't score. Really good defense, can't score. Feel like Ace Frehley, you're back in a New York groove with a week. Hope Rebel Nation takes over the swamp. Job's not done. They can certainly have a presence for sure. That's what it looks like when everyone does their job, players and staff. Just as complete of a game as you can imagine. And it happened to come against the best team that they've played this year. Go figure. Take care of Florida, then State. We'll have more motivation than ever to beat. I understand that. Truly, I understand, like, you know, it's a rivalry game. Can't count it out. Mississippi State's a bad football team. They're a very bad football team. And quarterback is young and impressive, but they can't protect him. They're running the ball a little bit better. I understand, you know, throw the record books out. Nah. I think that game could be ugly. It's far more likely that game's ugly than not. Don't think they want to play in the SEC championship game at this point. I think the answer is you'd rather host a playoff game than play in the SEC championship because you risk losing and playing an extra game. Dr. Pecker, let's go. Yeah, you like that video? Oh, man. Yeah, we'll talk about that on the radio show tomorrow. Jeez. not playing in the SEC championship might be a good thing at this point. I agree. Give the Ole Miss defense props. They shook Beck up all night. How about that image of him smiling on the sidelines? That was not a good look. And I know that it's not fair because it's a screenshot and who knows what was being said to him, but that was not a good look at all. Previously, you asserted that they couldn't beat Georgia without a run game. Me disagreed. Glad you were wrong. I'm wrong all the time, brother. But, I mean, they still ran for 137 yards. It's not like they just completely abandoned it. They did it just enough to make people have to account for it. Wonder how much of a run game they can piece together in these final two games. They will especially be able to run all over Mississippi State if they want. They'll run all over Mississippi State. Everybody can. UMass even had success running the football. So they certainly will then. Need a catfish dressed like Colonel Reb and call him Big Muddy. Tickets at Florida are pretty reasonable, and they will be even more reasonable after another loss this weekend. The squirrel on the video board was a nice touch. I saw that. That was hilarious. It's crazy that the best quarterbacks to ever play at Ole Miss are on the same team. Expect Ole Miss to be ranked number 10 on Tuesday, Georgia at 11, Miami at 12. Ole Miss needs to be ranked ahead of Georgia. They do. They kicked their ass on the field by 18 points, and it should have been more. Same record. Ole Miss won by a lot. Ole Miss should be ranked ahead of Georgia. If they're not, it's complete malpractice. And they should be ranked ahead of Miami as well. Got the win in dominating fashion, and today is the Marine Corps birthday. Drinks on the Curtain Rod Collective. Thanks, Pat. I appreciate that. I did not know that about the Marine Corps' birthday. Watching game day yesterday morning, every time Ole Miss was mentioned, you could hear the overrated chants. It was a little cathartic seeing LSU get skull-dragged by Bama. Yeah, they got to say that really cute chant on TV, though. That was adorable, wasn't it? Yeah, very, very cool that ESPN, who makes their employees apologize for innocuous comments that are offensive to some, promote yelling that phrase on their premier, like, studio, quote-unquote studio production show. It's almost like they're hypocrites, but, you know. Anyway. You can make an argument with Trey Harris back. Ole Miss can be the best team in the SEC. Absolutely, you can. What a shame to see a Brian Kelly-coached team flounder in a must-win game. Jalen Milroe has full ownership of LSU. Yeah. ACC's a one-bid league. I agree. They absolutely should be. Princely looked like he was chasing who? What? Thoughts on the BYU-Utah controversial ending. BYU is escaping by the skin of their teeth a lot. I think the call was correct. I would be fine with it not being called, but I think it was correct. What this game did more than anything is get the Grove Collective funded again. Everyone is ready to reinvest. Hell yeah. I mean, Walker Jones is going to be working the phones for the next 2 weeks. There is no better motivator than something like that. J.J. Pegues is the star of the year in your book. Look up his stats. He either gets a first down or a touchdown when he touches the ball. I mean, no kidding, right? I mean, just what a weapon he is offensively. And he's hurt, too. That shoulder, man, he's playing hurt, and he is so impactful. And also, you have the emotional side of it, too, like the local guy, the Chucky Mullins guy, playing the way he is, being so helpful on offense, being exceptional on defense. Like, everybody talks about him, like, personally, like, as a great dude on top of it all. Yeah. You'd love for the SEC to reinstate holding as a rule. Imagine the defensive line without being held. Walter Nolan, I mean, I say this all the time, and all of you guys do too. He is held on every single freaking play. Every play he is held on. Every play. Indiana's a paper tiger. A team like Ole Miss would eat them alive in the playoff. Either venue, too. Home or road. Yeah. Yeah. the question would be, what does he not get in Oxford? Oh, I'm missing what that's from. I'm so sorry. I'm just so behind on comments, but appreciate you being here, JD. Bo, thank you, man. Thank you for the super chat. I appreciate you, my friend. You don't have to at all, but thank you for doing so anyway. Appreciate you, man. We're definitely going to see the recruiting stock go up. Won't have to rely completely on the portal. Yeah, I mean, they're about to stack another really good high school class on top of a really good high school class. And, you know, a lot of those guys are going to be there that will be useful and supplement via portal and just keep on keeping on. When you beat the Georgia Bulldogs, you're going to feel a bulldog bite. You're cracking me up. Watching the Rebs get the biggest win of the modern era and storming the field in the pouring rain is something you'll never forget. And that's why I'm pro field storming. Because, Brandon, for the rest of your life, you will remember everything about that night. Everything. Every detail. Forever. That's why you should have been on the field. Would you remember things from the stands as well? Of course. How much better, though, was that game because you were on the field where it happened afterwards? How much better was that? Probably have to be ranked 7, maybe 6 to get a home playoff game. You sure? I don't necessarily think that that's the case, but we will have to see in a few weeks. Edward, stop. Thank you, man. Appreciate the super chat. You shouldn't have, but thank you. Shout out to LSU for essentially paying off Georgia for the field storming. Yeah. Why do people get married in the fall? Well, the bride is a Wake Forest grad, so, you know, but the wedding was, I mean, the venue was awesome. It was a really great wedding. They did such a good job. And despite their decisions on getting married on this particular Saturday, they are two wonderful people. And I was very happy to be a part of it. And I'm very glad that I was a part of it. I also wish I could have been in Oxford with the rest of you guys, but you know, you'd be on the watch for some high-level recruits to commit or maybe flip soon. Oh, yeah. When Kiffin says something about it, then you know it's coming. You'll be in Gainesville. Enjoy your trip, man. I've been to Gainesville. I have not been to a game in the Swamp. You'll be there taking four more Rebels with you. I assume it's a red game for you guys. I'm really looking forward to seeing how many are there. I think it's going to be a metric ton. Snagged Egg Bowl tickets earlier in the week for yourself. Glad you did it before last night. No kidding. They were kind of cheap. And by kind of cheap, I mean like really cheap. Like last week or 2 weeks ago. You're going to have a great time in Gainesville, I think, Edward. So after what happened yesterday, this is going to be kind of a goofy thing to say. Nothing beats winning on the road if you're there. What's going on with Diggs? Is he going to be available for the playoffs? I need to go in and look and see what Lane said today about it, because I don't think he said anything after the game, but it's possible. It's certainly possible. Have a bunch of Georgia friends, and they were convinced they weren't a very good team. You had to convince them that the way this Ole Miss team is playing, they are no joke. Just look at what Kirby said. Now, it's a very good Georgia team. It's a very, very good Georgia team. They ran into another very good team, but they're flawed just like everybody else. Are they really losing 65 guys? That might be right. That seems like too many. But, I mean, you'll have a bunch of guys that are out of eligibility, and then you'll have some hit the portal, because that's college football. 65 seems only 20 returners. That doesn't sound right. But I'll have to look deeper into that, because I think that might be a number that's too big. Thanks for all you do. No, don't thank me, man. It's all about you guys. It's the only way that I'm able to do this. You want Texas? Is there a chance that they get them? I think only in the playoffs. I think only in the playoffs. out of the potential 10-2 SEC teams, where does Ole Miss stand to get into the playoffs? Well, we'll have to see, right? I mean, there's still three more weeks to play. As of right now, Ole Miss has the best win, right? Well, no, Georgia has the best win. Georgia has the best win. But Ole Miss beat them. I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to – I know that's bad. I should know that. But that's something that, like, when the rankings come out on Tuesday, like, we'll have to – remind me on Tuesday that we can go and, like, compare resumes and rankings and stuff like that. But there's still 3 weeks to go. Saw some people with Ole Miss at 13 or 14 with Georgia and Miami still in the top 10. What do those people see? It's a joke, man. It's helmet bias or something. I don't know. College game day has gotten very crass this year. Lots of swearing and crude humor, which, you know, frankly, I've got kind of a bad mouth on me, if we're being totally honest. But encouraging multiple times people to scream what LSU fans scream during neck. Man, sorry for being an old man yells at cloud, because I tweeted something about it, and there are a lot of, oh, loosen up, have fun. What are you, a snowflake? It's like, no, it's not about that, man. It's college football. That's not college football. That doesn't happen in every stadium. And in fact, that chant is exclusive to LSU. And I don't think that that's something that should be yelled in the morning, on Saturday morning, before a college football game. I think it's gross, and they shouldn't do it. It's trashy, is what it is. College football is not trashy. It's fun. It's crazy. Sometimes it's a little dumb. It's not that, that's trash. And encouraging that on the broadcast, that the same ESPN that employs the people that they do, that have the opinions that they do, and the think pieces and all the crap that they do, and the condescending gaslighting that they do, but they sit there and encourage that. And then you've got people in media, in my business, that are, we're going to talk about sensitive to everything else, but it's like, let the band play neck. It's, do you hear what they're saying? I don't know. I think that's a bridge too far, and that shouldn't be encouraged, and it's trashy, and it's trashy. It's what it is. It's just trash, and encouraging that is trash. Georgia needs to beat Tennessee. Is that going to happen? I expect it to. I think Georgia's going to turn around and win. Did Corso pick Ole Miss to beat Georgia? I did not see it, but yes. Apparently the answer is yes, and beat the Corso curse. Hey, man, love it. Well, I love Lee Corso so much, but Walter Nolan, big Chris Jones vibes. I love his demeanor. He looks like he's annoyed, like he is perpetually annoyed. And what a great trait for a defensive tackle to be perpetually pissed off. Love it. It's the first time you will enjoy a bye week as a fan. Yeah, you guys all need some decompression as well. Stay hot, and this is your national title team. You don't see anyone scoring on this defense at the moment. I don't either. Penn State is another team that Ole Miss would eat alive again. Yeah, and I don't think Penn State has what they had a year ago even. I mean, having to go to Happy Valley would be tough. I mean, that's a really hard place to play football. I've been to a night game in Happy Valley when they were playing Ohio State, and oh boy, that place was nuts. But yes, I do think that Ole Miss would match up so well with that. Who in the top 12 would they not be favored against? Probably not Oregon. I'd be willing to bet that they wouldn't be a favorite against Ohio State or Texas either, although I really don't think that it would be, you know, a crazy thought that they would win those games by any stretch of the imagination. Hold on, let me – you know what? I was pulling up scores. That's dumb. Let's see. Playoff rankings. They would not be, I don't think they would be favored over Oregon, Ohio State, or Texas. I think that they would be favored, and maybe even Alabama, because you guys know how it works with Alabama. And they looked really good last night. So give them their flowers. They looked great. But I think that everything else would be either Ole Miss is favored, or like basically a pick 'em. Like, I think with Alabama, it'd be like a 1-point line on a neutral field, something like that. But they'd be favored Right now, I think over Penn State, over Miami, over Tennessee, over Indiana, BYU, Notre Dame. Yeah. It's an extremely impressive win by Bama. Just kicked there. It's almost like Milroe in the running game has helped. South Carolina win is getting better by the week. They should be ranked this week. I would rank them. Missouri doesn't deserve to be ranked. I know they won the game, but what a choke job by Oklahoma that was. Who does Ole Miss need to lose in the SEC to help them get in to the playoffs? We'll do this on Tuesday after the rankings come out because I don't know. Like, are they going to be ranked ahead of Georgia? I don't. We'll have to see when the rankings come out if they're able to jump A&M and if they do in fact jump Georgia. So, if how far ahead of them is Alabama, things like that. South Carolina needs to win out, and Georgia beats Tennessee. Not that you want injuries, but is Tennessee's quarterback going to play? I don't know. We'll see. You love Notre Dame and Oxford. That would be something. Whew. Defense travels on the road. Sure does. What are the odds for a home game for the playoff? I would bet on them to make the playoff at this point, and I think that they would be right on the edge, like right on the 8-9 edge, if you made me bet right now. Are you the only one that never even watches anymore? I do. I always put it on. I like game day. I've for my entire life, basically, I've started my college football Saturday with college game day, specifically Lee Corso. I miss Chris Fowler on it. Reese is good. Reese is really good. But I think when it was Fowler, Kirk, and Corso, like as the nucleus, that was when it was at its best. But I always have done it, so I'm always going to do it. How fun would it be to play Ohio State and dominate Judkins? Especially when that's what would happen. I don't think Ohio State would be able to run on this defense. You're concerned about a 10-2 SEC logjam with Notre Dame at 11-1 and undefeated BYU losing to Colorado in the Big 12 title game. Yeah, but I think it'll work itself out. It will. And again, and Ole Miss has that win now. They have that Georgia win now. Judkins can't run on Purdue. There's no way he's doing anything against Ole Miss. No doubt. No doubt. Got to the end of the messages. Went a little long, but whatever. You guys were here, and I'm glad that you were here, and I appreciate you. Continue to enjoy your weekend, guys. You deserve it. Enjoy your week. You don't have to stress about anything for the next 13 days. So enjoy that. We'll be back Tuesday. Because we've got the playoff poll to talk about. And then we didn't mention basketball, but, you know, sometimes you just got to be happy that you win games and not get got early in basketball season. How's the Airbnb? It was very weird. It was weird. I didn't like it. She was great. The host was great. It was exactly as advertised, but I can do better next time. So anyway, y'all be good. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.